It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Good afternoon here on this Thursday, January 27th. I'm your host, Jackson White, joined alongside Owen Pulley, and we will now welcome in 8-year NBA veteran who is now a color commentator on Indiana Pacers Radio, and also does some post-game, pre-game stuff as well for the Indiana Pacers, Eddie Gill.
Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate you having me on here today. How's everything going?
It's going good. It's going good. So, Eddie, last night the Indiana Pacers suffered their biggest loss, I mean, in least recent memory, and allowing the most points in franchise history. They lost 158-126. And the Pacers now sit at a 17-32 record, 13th in the Eastern Conference, and most of their team is banged up. Just lots of things going. I mean, what is going on right now with the Indiana Pacers?
Yeah, there's clearly a lot going on, and obviously some adjustments being made throughout this season, whether it's health concerns, injuries, and obviously when you throw COVID in the mix, that's a whole other animal that everyone has to deal with, including the Pacers. And unfortunately, it did end up catching up with this team, and now you have guys out with some injuries, the majority of your starting five out. So a lot of adjustments to be made, adding new guys to the mix. It's almost each day an adjustment in its own right. So that's part of the deal to some degree. Obviously, in professional sports, especially in this day and age, a lot of that's going on, and it's just trying to figure out a way to adapt and have some level of success.
Yeah, I mean, this team, they've had different starting lineups. Right now, their five, at least last night, was LeVert at the one, Dorte at the two, Torrey Craig at the three, Holiday at the four, and Batase at the five. And going into the season, I don't think any of those guys were really predicted to start besides LeVert. And, I mean, this team has had lots of players come out of the rookie draft class from last season with a Dorte, now Washington Jr. just coming into it, and Isaiah Jackson as well. I mean, last year it seems like the rookie draft class has looked, and I mean, they've looked pretty good with the time they've had. But this team, lots of moving pieces and lots of players injured. So what do you think the feeling right now is for the Pacers, because they're down. Greg Doyle was not happy with them. Not Greg Doyle, but Mark Doyle was unhappy with them last night, it seemed like. So Boyle, I said it wrong three times, but they're struggling, and what do you think the feeling is for them just going in right now?
Yeah, right now I'm sure the frustrations are at an all-time high, you know, when you talk about the timing of last night's game. And it doesn't seem like it, but just a week ago they did knock off the Lakers and the Warriors in back-to-back wins. So it tells you how quickly things can change. And obviously prior to that they had hadn't had a lot of success from a win-loss standpoint, but you go get those two wins, you start feeling pretty good about yourself, and then you know, maybe a week later you have last night's game. So definitely a roller coaster of results and emotions going on with this team right now. You can't control health issues, you can't control injuries. All you can control is those guys that are in uniform going out there, being able to compete, communicate at a high level, and work as hard as they can, and then live with the result after that.
Yeah, and I mean, as of right now, the Pacers are a team that is in lots of trade discussions, but no trade is yet to be made. Do you think there is going to be a trade before the trade deadline, or do you see a moving pieces move in the offseason or now?
You know, historically, when you look at a Pacers franchise, they haven't been one that's been incredibly active before the trade deadline. So, I mean, that's really the only thing that you can really base it on. I really don't pay attention to rumors too much, because like 1% of the rumors typically ever happen. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's people like you and me generating rumors who don't really have any insight on what's going on inside that locker room or inside management walls, those types of things. So very few times do I pay attention to the rumors, but to answer your question, I really don't know if they're going to trade anyone before the deadline. Like I said, historically, that hasn't been something that this team has participated in at a really high level. So if you're going off of that, you know, chances are low. But obviously a lot of frustrations, a lot of different things going on this season. So there may be an argument that they look to do something because of those things, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, as the Pacers, like you said, have not really done anything on the trade deadline. Last season, they ended up trading Victor Oladipo for Caris LeVert. But before that, I mean, they've had basically two trades since 2000 before the deadline. And their last one before last year was dating back to the Evan Turner-Danny Granger trade. So the Pacers really don't make moves at the deadline, and I don't know if they will now. But right now, I mean, the Pacers sit at a 17-32 clip, and really the only exciting thing about the Pacers of late, obviously they had a big couple wins versus the Lakers and the Warriors on the road trip out in L.A. and California, but Lance Stephenson signing with the Pacers about a month ago. He's now signed multiple 10-day contracts, and Lance really just seems to give a boost to this team that they did not have before. I know it really isn't leading to wins, but I don't know if this team is in a win-now position. Lance just seems like he's having fun out there. They like playing with him. Do you think Lance will be signed for the remainder of the season, or do you think they're just going to continue to do this 10-day thing, or what's your opinion on that?
Well, there'll come a point where the 10 days will have to come to an end one way or another, whether they would like to sign him long-term or not. It will be the decision that they make, because it just won't allow you to continue the 10 days throughout the season. But to your point about his, you know, passion and energy that he brings to the game is definitely well received by Indianapolis fans. I think he definitely has been able to do that. I think we've seen some maturity in his game since the last time we saw him. He's making positive decisions with the basketball, whether it's to go score or to find teammates. He's making quicker decisions, which is always good, versus, you know, holding on to the basketball, letting the defense set, and then try to make a decision. It's a little bit more problematic to make plays when you do that. So I think he's done a better job of that. He does create a lot of excitement. There's a buzz around the team when he's there. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they were able to make that move and keep him for the remainder of the season. That clearly is still yet to be determined, but he's definitely been a bright spot here over the last couple of weeks for the Pacers.
Now, Eddie, I know that the Pacers have had this kind of stigma of being this kind of mediocre-ish team, having five straight seasons getting sent home early in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Now, the Pacers do have a young talent in Chris Duarte, and I feel like they could build around him in years to come. But how do you think the Pacers could build around him?
Well, he's a guy who can obviously drafted as a guy who's, you know, quote-unquote older rookie, but that means he's got some experience, right? He's got a lot of playing experience, got some life experience, and he comes in as a guy who's ready to play right out the gate, and I think we've seen that from him since the start of the season. Whether he's a starter, whether he's coming off the bench, he's been able to be productive in both roles. So with his scoring ability, that can only grow. It'll also grow, and his growth will be obviously on the defensive end as well. But he's also been a guy who has been able to make plays as well. So if the team decided to go that route, I don't know if the weight that they would put on his shoulders right now, because considering his status in the league and just being a rookie, his first time there, like I said, he is a more mature rookie, but I think that's a lot to put on a young player right now. So I don't know if they'll go in that direction anytime soon.
Yeah, I definitely don't see them going just on Duarte's shoulders immediately. But I think he is going to be a big piece in the Pacers' future. I mean, he is 24, the oldest rookie in this last draft. And like you mentioned, he is mature. And he's played it. He's played like it. He's played like a 24-year-old in this league. And then they have some raw rookie in Isaiah Jackson. Isaiah Jackson brings a lot of things to the Pacers that they, I mean, he kind of is the same premise of a Miles Turner type. Obviously, Miles Turner is taller than Isaiah Jackson and a better just all-around player. But Isaiah Jackson's only 20. And he can block shots at a high percent level. And he's been able to shoot a three. I mean, he hasn't really shot it in the NBA yet, but down in the G League, he waited to go 5 for 5 a couple of weeks ago. So Isaiah Jackson is a guy. I also do think the Pacers could build around Isaiah Jackson, knowing, I mean, I know Miles Turner possibly could be moved. I don't want to see him get moved, but I know that that's kind of rumored. So do you think Isaiah Jackson, I mean, his role has increased all season. He's only 20. I mean, what do you see them doing with Isaiah Jackson?
I love the potential in Isaiah Jackson. I think he's a guy who has an extremely live body with in terms of his athleticism, quickness, the way he gets up and down the floor. As you mentioned, he can protect the rim. I love the potential he has out on the perimeter, being a perimeter defender against smaller guys, because he does have that quickness. He has a second jump that a lot of guys don't have. So he brings a lot to the table just in raw tools that a lot of people don't have. You referenced him being 20 years old, so he's going to learn the NBA game and learn how to manage his athleticism and maximize it right now. I think he has one speed right now. Once he learns how to change those speeds and be able to use his athleticism in a timely fashion, he's going to be that much more impactful on the court. So those are all things that he'll learn, but he has a number of things that you cannot teach, that you just cannot try to duplicate, you know, on a court. He's a guy, he has a lot of gifts that he's born with, and he's a guy who has a great motor, and looks like he's a guy who's willing to work to get better at his game. So I love what I see in Isaiah Jackson, and obviously we referenced Chris Duarte, and we're able to find an undrafted guy like Dwayne Washington Jr. Mm-hmm. I've been really impressed with what the Pacers are able to do with those three guys.
And about
and actually throw Keeper Sykes in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's done well for himself. Really happy for him. He's got an incredible story. So those four guys, I really do believe the Pacers have done a nice job.
And Kiefer, being 28 years old, but he just came in and played some big minutes as well, starting a few games whenever Brogdon and all that missed time. But a lot of young guys making the most of their minutes. But a guy who's been on the team now for three seasons, this is Goga Batadze, has been starting in a lot of the past couple games. Last night he had 17.6 rebounds and only 19 minutes of play. Goga has kind of been up and down all of his career here in Indiana. I mean, what have you seen from Goga as he's now starting? And, I mean, do you think he could be a player that they – I don't know if he would ever be a starter-type caliber, but, I mean, it does look like he's improved from last season to now.
Yeah, I think he's made great improvements. He's done a lot with his time and the challenges that present themselves when you're getting a lot of DMPs and just trying to stay ready. Keep yourself in a good strength and conditioning standpoint, and then also have some sort of rhythm. It's incredibly challenging. So to be able to see him go out there these last couple games and play with good rhythm, play with good confidence, be efficient offensively. He's done a nice job in the pick and roll game, finding spots in the defense where he can just catch and finish right at the rim, taking advantage of his size against some of these teams playing small ball. He's done a great job there. And all the while he's doing a nice job of rebounding it. So he's definitely helped himself. It's hard to say where he fits, you know, long term with this team. Obviously, they've got a lot of guys out who typically play those minutes, so it'll be the kind of determined once if they decide to make a move, if they don't make a move, when guys get back from a health standpoint, and just where those minutes are available. Because at the end of the day, you need an opportunity, and if the opportunity isn't there, you don't have the chance to flourish and grow personally. So. We'll just kind of wait and see, you know, what this team decides to do, and then also, again, with the health standpoint.
Yeah, and then you look at it, and obviously you don't like your star players being down with injury, but with this team sitting at 17-32, it's kind of nice. I mean, obviously I want our players to be healthy, but it's nice to see other players step into roles and see what they can do with a given time and minutes, because Batadze really has had really too many minutes since getting drafted here, and other guys as well. I mean, like Dune Washington Jr., he's a guy who, with everyone was healthy, would probably not play at all. And he's gotten some big minutes, 7 threes a couple nights ago, so he's a guy who can shoot it. O'Shea Brissett's a guy who came on at the end of last season, only played 5 minutes last night, but he's been taking the minutes as much. But a player that has missed over 200 days, I think it's 287 now, T.J. Warren, has not played really since the NBA bubble. He played two games last season, I believe versus Boston in the first game of the year, I think versus Cleveland. I probably am wrong on the second one, but T.J. Warren has not played in practically two seasons. He has been weeks away for 3 months now, and I know you probably don't know really much on his injury status, but I know you see him in shoot around. He's been shooting it around. I mean, what do you think about T.J. Warren? Do you think he'll play this season? Or do you see him returning next season? Or what's the future look like for T.J. Warren?
Yeah, that's a great question. But the most important thing you said is I don't know. because I don't, genuinely, I'm not sure what the status is. Obviously, with the direction the team is headed and some of the frustrating losses they've had up to this point in the season, you know, they have some decisions to make as to, you know, whether it's to, from a precautionary standpoint, to keep him out, or do you want to get him get back going? You know, first and foremost, his health is the most important thing. So if he's actually ready to go, you know, when do you allow him to rejoin the team and allow him to get back out there on the floor? So, yeah, he's a guy who they've missed incredibly here throughout this season. We saw what he was able to do prior to injury, and he's clearly an impact player who can get it done. So I'm not sure if we see him or when we see him. So I hesitate to speculate on that at all, but I can assure you I'm looking forward to seeing him at some point, whether it's this season or next.
Oh yeah, I mean T.J. Warren in the bubble was bubble almost MVP. He was averaging 30 a game. He was really shooting it, and then he got hurt, and it's the same foot injury that has been lingering. I think Sabonis had the same injury as well. And the foot injury, I mean, it can in some ways can be worse than a knee injury because it just lingers and it does not go away. But the Pacers now, like I've mentioned multiple times, sit at a 17-32 record, 13 in the Eastern Conference. What direction for the remainder of the season? I know we're past halfway through the year. What direction do you think this team is going to go? Do you think they still feel like they can make the playoffs, or do you think they're just trying to win one game at a time?
Yeah, honestly, I think right now it's about, you know, winning the day, winning one day at a time. When you get this level of frustration, obviously this team came in with high hopes and expectations for good reason because they've had some success over the last couple seasons. You know, you take last season out of it, obviously they didn't make it to the playoffs, but prior to that had been, you know, getting to the playoffs with regularity. So so this team coming to this season with those same hopes to get back. And, you know, you have the roster to do so, and you just haven't been able to do it. So, as of right now, I think this team is just trying to get from one day to the next in terms of finding ways to be positive, you know, around each other, obviously, continue to uplift each other, meanwhile holding each other accountable, and then go out in these games, even though you're shorthanded, with the ability to compete and win a game.
Yeah, and then finally, this Pacers team, obviously, they have some injuries. They all haven't been healthy, really, for the last 2 years. They've had some pieces move around. Oladipo going out, LeVert coming in, and some other places like Torrey Craig coming in now. Dorte and Stevenson's back. What do you think the biggest need is for the Pacers entering the offseason? I know that is far away, but there's obviously positions that they need filled. I mean, what do you think this team needs to be able to compete to years to come?
Man, it's hard to evaluate just because the health has been such a big issue for this team over the last couple of seasons. Even you go back to Victor Oladipo gets hurt, or Victor Oladipo, you know, was able, got hurt, and you know they didn't have him in that Boston series. They lose to Boston the next season. They lose to Bonus. They lose to Miami in the playoffs. So health has been a major concern for this team for the last couple of seasons. So I would say this team needs to get healthy. You know, even though injuries are definitely part of the season, all teams are dealing with it in some shape, form, or fashion. But not significant injuries where you have guys missing 30, 40 games and that kind of thing. When that happens to you, it really can derail what you're trying to do, especially if you have multiple guys going out. So I think to make a true assessment, you need to try to get healthy. Otherwise, it's hard to evaluate.
Yeah. I don't know if this team will ever be healthy. It's kind of the question. If they were healthy, right, they could do this, but they haven't been. So, I mean, that's kind of just the lingering question about the Pacers. But switching topics now to kind of more about you. You played 8 years in the NBA, and then, I mean, you bounced around. You played on multiple teams, journeyman. And then now since 2016, you've been working with the Indiana Pacers doing lots of things. Now you do you work on the radio as a color commentary. You do post-game, pre-game stuff. I mean, you've bounced around. What's it like having that be your job?
You broke up that last little bit. Finish that last question again.
What's it like working like for the Pacers, doing everything you do for them?
I got it. No, it's been awesome. It's been awesome. They've been incredibly gracious and afforded me with some opportunities. Obviously, here from the broadcasting standpoint, doing stuff on the radio as well. I mean, it's been really good. I've been really fortunate to have the opportunity. I enjoy the people that I'm working with. It's a great group, and I've really enjoyed it. It keeps me tied into the game. I love the game. The game of basketball has afforded me a number of different opportunities, and I'm forever grateful for that. And this is just one of them.
Yeah, and then also I know that obviously it's really easy to prep for an NBA game. What do you do to prep for each team and every game you have before going into a pregame or a radio or whatever?
Sure. Yeah, I can't take I take limited credit, if any, for what goes into the prep work. We have a great producers in the background, great stat people in the background. They're tracking down a lot of this information for us to be able to utilize in our pregame shows and obviously postgame shows and that kind of thing. Me personally, one of the biggest things for me is just to make sure I'm in tune to the players watching the games. And quite honestly, I love the game so much, whether I was doing this or not, I'm going to watch the games and have a good understanding of what's going on. So, but as far as the prep work, I really got to give the bulk of the credit and the lion's share of the credit to our producers, Ken Softman and Brian Woodrum, and guys like that, are really get a lot of work done. Jeremiah Johnson does a lot of work to prepare for our pregame. So those guys get the lion's share of the credit, especially when you're speaking about the prep work.
And finally, Eddie, before we let you off here, do you have any advice for anyone who possibly wants to be in your chair doing stuff with an NBA team or a sports team? Like, what advice would you give to someone one day hoping to be in the seat that you're in?
I would just say, obviously one of the obvious ones is just working as hard as you can to perfect the craft and know what you're doing in the craft itself. But I think that probably goes without saying. But beyond that is just trying to establish a network of people that are in the business. See if there's any internship opportunities or even if it's just being able to shadow someone who's been able to do it. Just have conversations with people who are doing it, who are in the business, who have had some success with it, who have had some failures with it, and just really just trying to build that network of people that are in the business and just learn from them, learn from their successes and their failures. And I always say learn from other people's experiences, good, bad, or indifferent. Just try to do that as much as you can, especially if you're younger into the game and don't necessarily have a whole lot of experience. You want to just try to gather as much wisdom and knowledge from other people as possible.
And yeah, that's really all we got. Thanks again, Eddie, for joining us here on the Sports Spotlight, and good luck for the remainder of the season.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
All right, thanks, Eddie.
You too, Eddie.